honestly, Anthony, I thought I was too old to give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, like I really thought that I was too old to work on my PGA certification. I thought I was too old to, you know, try to get a full-time job in the golf industry.
Welcome to Out the Trap, a podcast that's all about Black folks in the game of golf. Tune in every Monday as I talk with Black folks from all walks of life who are passionate about this crazy game. His stories from the weekend golfer to the innovators of Black-owned golf companies and everyone in between. My name is Anthony McNeil, certified golf junkie and your host. Let's get ready to tee off. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 3 of Out the Trap. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast. This young lady has been involved in the game of golf for 25 years. She's an avid golfer. She's an assistant girls golf coach, and she's an aspiring golf instructor. Originally from the state of Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, she's now residing in Chicago, one of my favorite locations to visit. Please help me welcome Miss Ashley Jones. Ashley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you today, Anthony?
I am doing fantastic. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to join me on the podcast. If you guys can't see the video, she has a nice setting there. Where are you at, in the courtyard or something?
I am, yeah, just hanging out in the courtyard near, right by the pool, hanging okay. Poolside.
Great. Yeah, like I said, I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite places to visit. One of my favorite restaurants is there. It's a place called Heaven on 7 over on Wabash, I think it's called.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a Cajun-style restaurant, and I will literally drive there just to go there. I'm in Michigan, by the way, so.
Well, next time you are in town, dinner's on me.
I appreciate that. If you love Cajun food, you have to go visit this place. I might have to hit them up for a sponsorship the way I'm talking about them. So
there you go. be an ambassador.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, Ashley, I appreciate you hopping on. Before we get into all the golf stuff, I want to give the listener a chance to learn a little bit about you. So can you tell me who Ashley is? What are you currently doing now?
Wow. So who Ashley is? That's a loaded question. So currently I'm a business manager for Acosta Sales and Marketing. So we are a broker. And what I do is I help natural and organic specialty items with their distributor. Their distributor that they use is called Kahi. So I kind of manage that relationship.
Okay.
And I get some really cool samples while I'm at it. But Most recently, I just started as but I'm an assistant girls golf coach for the Latin School in downtown Chicago. Our girls actually won conference last week, and we're off to regionals this week. So very excited about them. I believe our record now is like 9-1, maybe 10-1. We did win a match yesterday. So these girls can hit the ball. I mean, they are fantastic. And when I got that job, it kind of made me realize, wow, I can have a career in golf. You know, like this is something that I can actually make come true. And so with that in mind, it made me apply for some full-time golf jobs, you know, whether that's working in a pro shop as a pro shop manager, which I've done before, or just, you know, finding something.
I'm going to cut you off for a second because I'm going to get into all of that with you here in a minute. But I want to back up a second because I want to get everybody a chance to learn a little bit more about you. How long have you been in Chicago?
I've been in Chicago for a little bit over a year, but okay. This is my second time living in Chicago. So, yeah, a little bit over a year.
Okay. And you originally were there from Arkansas, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I moved there from Northwest Arkansas, home of Walmart. I was working on the Walmart team for my company and, you know, decided to make Chicago home again. So yeah. It's treated me very well.
Yeah, again, I love Chicago. Outside of playing golf, what else you enjoy doing?
Well, I volunteer a lot, help out with the first tee. I sit on a couple of nonprofit boards. What else do I do? Hanging out with friends and just enjoying life. But for the most part, I'm really playing golf a lot.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Speaking of golf, let's go ahead and get into the topic. What was your introduction into the game?
My introduction was Harold Banks. A lot of folks know him down in Little Rock, and he introduced me to the sport at a very, very young age. him and my mom were very close friends when they were growing up. And he called my mom and, you know, was like, hey, let's get Ashley involved with golf. And it's kind of taken off since then. And, you know, I've played competitively from a very young age up till my early 20s. I was playing competitively. I did not make my high school golf team.
Okay.
But I was still going out there playing a lot of tournaments and even winning a couple of tournaments. I then went on to college where I still played competitively, but I did not play for the University of Arkansas.
Okay.
So, but I still played in a lot of different tournaments. And then, you know, that I kind of took a break from golf for probably about 2 or 3 years. I kind of just took a break. I had throughout college and high school, I worked at private clubs, you know, doing cleaning carts, managing the pro shop, doing everything. Mm-hmm. And I was also a caddy for a club in Arkansas. And I just decided to take a break from it and then kind of pick my clubs back up a few years later. And it's been nothing but golf.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it about the game that made you fall in love with it?
That's a good question. You always say is that one good shot, right? That keeps you coming back out of all the bad shots, right? It's that one good shot that keeps you coming back. Maybe it was that one chip in I had, you know? But it was just something that my mom will say, I picked it up and kind of took off with it, you know? And I was very fortunate to see, you know, other kids that look like me. I mean, there wasn't a lot in Arkansas that looked like me that played golf. But, you know, where we played junior golf at the first tee of Central Arkansas, there was maybe about two or three of us. So, you know, that kind of helps out a lot, too, because you're, you know, playing a sport that's mostly Caucasian dominated, mm-hmm. you know, and so to get out here and to go up against a lot of these other kids that, you know, played at private country clubs and stuff like that, it felt good, especially when you start to beat them a little.
Yeah. Was it intimidating for you at first?
I don't think it was, because I went to private school. I went to a private Catholic school.
Okay.
And there was not a whole lot of kids of color that went there. So, you know, kind of going up against, and then I played with a lot of these kids out at the first tee. So it wasn't, because I kind of knew a lot of them.
Okay.
But you kind of still have that little bit of nervousness always, even if, you know, right before you tee off, you still have that. But, you know, my mom told me, you know, don't even look at it, you know, just go out there. And my golf coach, Harold Banks, would always tell me, you're playing against the course. You're not playing against these kids.
Hey, correct.
You're playing against the course. So go out there and beat the course.
Yeah, for real. Good advice. Yeah. I remember when I first started, gentleman, he was old school. He had been playing probably his entire life. And I think he was in his 60s or 70s. That was first piece of advice he gave me the first time I went out to play in a competitive round was, remember, you're not playing these other folks out here. You're playing at golf course. So, yeah, that's great advice to remember. Do you remember the very first tournament you played in or the first competitive round that you've played?
I do. And it's funny because over the weekend, I attended the Ryder Cup. And I met the Deuce Premium gang, and I met Jim Thorpe.
Okay.
And the very first competitive, like full on 18-hole tournament I ever played in was the Jim Thorpe Classic.
Really? Wow.
And that was my very first competitive tournament. And I don't remember what I've shot. I'm pretty sure it was around 95, maybe 100, okay. But that was my very first competitive tournament. And I still remember that day. I forget which course it was, but I remember Harold Banks called my mom and said, we need to sign Ashley Jones up for this Jim Thorpe Junior Golf Tournament. And my mom said, okay. So went and played in it. And then to meet him on Saturday, I was just like, I was starstruck.
Oh, I bet. What was the Ryder?
You were just like, oh my God.
What was the Ryder's Cup like?
I can't even describe it. It was amazing. Everything that you saw on TV, it was the course was beautiful. It was very windy out there.
Oh,
very
I bet.
Windy. But the course was beautiful. It was in excellent condition. So many people. I think it was just great to be out and about at this golf tournament. I mean, this is more than just a golf tournament.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, almost something that's like once in a lifetime to attend, right? For a lot of folks. I took a few friends of mine. They're very avid golfers, and And I asked them to go with me, and we just had a good time. It was so much fun.
Now, did you just attend as a fan, or were you volunteering or anything?
Yeah, just a fan, just as a spectator. We went Saturday,
okay.
And the PGA did an excellent job. I mean, fan experience was perfect. I don't know if they could have done anything else to make it even better.
Really? Wow.
So, yeah. Kudos to the PGA.
I saw some of the pictures you posted. It looked like you guys had a great time.
Yes, we did. We sure did.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you mentioned that you've been coaching. How long have you been coaching?
I started out coaching as like a volunteer coach with the first tee.
Okay.
And I probably did that for 7-8 years. But this position with the Latin school, this is my very first like pure coaching job. It's a part-time role, but I kind of look at it as like a full-time opportunity,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's been very rewarding to be able to coach such a great team.
How was the first tee experience for you?
I loved it. I was one of the first 50 kids to sign up for the first tee of Central Arkansas.
Okay.
Like in the parking lot, it was a trailer, and that's where they were signing the kids up. And then, you know, like a few months later, you see this extravagant clubhouse go up, and a lot of folks like to call it country club for kids. And it's just, it's beautiful. Mom would drop me off Saturday mornings at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I didn't see her till, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was such a wonderful experience. I went through the entire program, and, you know, a lot of the things that I learned from the first tee, I mean, I was probably 10 or 11 when they opened it up in Arkansas and in Little Rock. A lot of the stuff that I did learn, I was able to use in my professional career.
Okay.
You know, you learn about the 9 core values, right? You learn how to properly shake someone's hand. You know, those are things that stay with you at a very, very young age, mm-hmm. all the way up till, you know, right now. So
yeah.
I, you know, definitely commend the first tee for, you know, kind of taking that lead and that step of kind of helping me develop professional skills as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, the first tee, would you consider that to be a good starting point for a young person of color to get introduced to the game?
I do. I give a lot of props to First Tee Chicago, of Greater Chicago.
Okay.
They really go out into the inner city and work with those kids. I mean, they do so much work for our youth that may not have ever picked up a golf club, let alone ever thought about playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've worked with quite a few first tee programs, but I think it's a great starting point. I mean, look at me today, you know, because of Harold Banks and the first tee, I kind of took off running with it. And, you know, they have donated clubs from folks. And, you know, there was even people that donated golf shirts and shoes and pants and all that. So I think it's a great start. And I would love to see more kids of color get involved with golf with the first tee as well.
I read in your bio that you attended the Earl Woods National Golf Academy for the first tee.
I did.
Did you get a chance to meet Mr. Woods?
No, I did not. It was the summer before I went into 8th grade, and
okay.
We were at Kansas State University, and we were there for a week. It was hot. Oh my God, it was so hot. But no, we did not meet Mr. Woods, but we played at Colbert Hills in Manhattan, Kansas.
Okay.
And so Jim Colbert, he, you know, played professional golf. He actually came in on a helicopter and like landed on the fairway. I think like maybe 17th or 18th fairway. I can't remember. But I just remember us saying like that was the coolest thing ever. Like he just came down from the sky in a helicopter, landed. And then, you know, all of us kids are like just running up right to him while the propellers are running and all that to see this guy. So it was really cool. But it would have been even better to see Tiger's dad.
Yeah, I bet. Now, that was the National Golf Academy. Is that different from the local chapters? Is there a difference there?
No, it was basically they took about maybe like 4 or 5 kids from each first tee chapter.
Okay.
I actually still talk to one of the girls that I met there who was from, she was from somewhere down in Florida. And we're like friends on Instagram now. So that was something really cool. But yeah, it's just pretty much four or five kids from each first tee chapter, and we have to apply for it. We had to get recommendation letters, and then, you know, we were chosen from our local chapter.
I'm sorry, but you said you're still currently involved in the first tee, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, I sit on the Ambassadors Council for First Tee of Greater Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. And I know you've done, again, looking at your bio, you've done a lot of volunteer work within the industry. And you had named some of it outside of the first tee and coaching. Is there some other things that you've done as far as volunteering and working in the golf industry?
Yes. So I co-chaired the LPGA tournament, the Northwest Arkansas Championship, that's held every year in Rogers, Arkansas at Pinnacle Country Club.
Okay.
I started out as a volunteer for that probably 2010, maybe 2011.
Okay.
I remember driving back to Fayetteville from Little Rock, and I remember hearing on the local radio station, you know, this LPGA tournament that's in Rogers. And I'm like, are you kidding me? There's a LPGA tournament right up the road from me. I had no idea about it. And then I just went online and, you know, started researching it and got involved. And then after a couple of years, I became a co-chair for it. I co-chaired a few different parts of that tournament. But then, and I also co-chair, there's a huge food festival too that they do that's part of that tournament where all the local restaurants get together and you can just sample different dishes from their restaurants. And I was co-chairing that. And then on top of the LPGA tournament, I also co-chaired the NCAA, I think it was 2019, the NCAA national tournament, national championship was held at the Blessings in Johnson, Arkansas, which is basically it's right in between Rogers and Fayetteville, a little small town. But I co-chaired that tournament and it was incredible. I mean, I saw, you know, Victor Hovland when he was playing collegiate golf. I saw, you know, of course, our, you know, Razorbacks, our girls are out there, you know, killing it. And Maria Fossey, like, wins. I think she won, like, the singles. But it was, like, I, you know, just to be a part of those tournaments and to be, and to, you know, kind of have, like, a leadership role with those tournaments, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the LPGA tournament, the Northwest Arkansas Championship last year because of COVID, but they still had it. And then this year, it landed on the same weekend as the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
So I kind of had to make a decision. So,
yeah, that's a tough decision right there.
It was. I went back and forth and I was like, you know what? Ryder Cup it is.
Hey, you said it. That's a once in a lifetime event. So...
Yeah.
what's some of the your favorite courses that you've played?
Favorite courses. Well, I've played the Blessings where the NCAA championship was held.
Okay.
It's a private course. And let me tell you, Anthony, you need a couple blessings on that course. But I still love it. It's one of my favorites. And then as a Cowboys fan, I love the Cowboys Golf Club.
Okay.
I used to treat myself right before my birthday. I'd go play it every year. And it's one of my favorite courses.
What's one of your bucket list courses?
Bucket list?
Yeah.
Well, I just played TPC Scottsdale.
Really?
So that's off my, yeah.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's off my bucket list.
How was that?
It was hot. Hot. My legs were baking in 113 degree weather. But I would say my bucket list course is to play, it's either between Bethpage Black or obviously, you know, want to play Augusta.
Yeah.
So, you know, those two are definitely high up there. So if you have any connections for Augusta.
Trust me, if I had a connection, I think that's on everybody's bucket list. And it's definitely my number one. And I just fulfilled my number two, which is Pebble Beach. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. My three buddies that I play with on the regular, we booked a trip to go out in January. And we've been talking about doing it for the last 15 years. And, you know, finally we just all said, look, we're not getting any younger. Let's just go ahead and do it.
I love that.
Yeah. We booked the trip for this January. So hopefully they can keep this COVID thing under control and it won't get canceled or anything like that.
That's going to be great. Y'all are going to have such a good time.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. I was just watching the tournament on TV. It was either a Pro-Am or the Champions, and they were at Pebble Beach. And
Was it that Pure tournament?
I think so.
Yeah. With the first tee kids?
I think so. Yeah, it was something. I just saw it on TV this weekend. And and I was like, oh man, that's going to be such a blast once we get out there. You know, I'm stocking up on golf balls now because I know I'm probably going to need a lot.
Smart man. That's a very smart decision. Very smart. Another thing that I want to put together is to play all TPC courses.
That would be
nice. I want to give myself like 2 to 3 years to play all TPC courses. Because like after I played TPC Stadium and Champions, I was like, yep, I want to play every single TPC course there is.
That's a nice little list
I'll,
right there.
I'll keep posted on that.
A really nice list. Yeah. Now, have you done any other volunteer work?
I think that's pretty much it. Okay. You know, like besides the nonprofit boards that I sit on, one of the other boards that I volunteer with is called Common Threads. And they work with children in Chicago that, you know, they may not have their families may not have enough money to buy groceries or to, you know, cook, you know, homemade dinners. So what we do is we raise funds and we work with local chefs throughout Chicago and have these like Zoom, kind of like these Zoom cooking lessons with kids and their families, their parents. And then we also provide the groceries to help the kids, you know, cook with their family. So they're like, you know, eating healthy. They're learning how to cook. They're learning, you know, about portions. And on top of that, you're getting to cook with some really great chefs from Chicago.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mentioned in your introduction that you're an aspiring golf instructor. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So I actually just got hired as a full-time golf instructor with Golf Tech.
Oh, congrats.
In their Naperville store, in their Naperville, Illinois store. So I'll be starting there in mid-October. I kind of was just, you know, I was like teaching, not really teaching, but like coaching these girls. It really made me, you know, kind of look back and just be like, wow, like I'm like, this is so awesome. And I've always enjoyed the coaching side when I was volunteering with the first tee. And I just never thought, you know, I could do it. Honestly, Anthony, I thought I was too old to give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, like I really thought that I was too old to work on my PGA certification. I thought I was too old to, you know, try to get a full-time job in the golf industry. But that coaching job really made me realize I'm not too old for it.
Yeah.
So I got my profile set up on the PGA membership page. And was just kind of applying for different full-time jobs there. And then I saw that with Golf Tech and applied for it. And 2 days later, they made me an offer. And I think that they saw my passion for golf and for growing the sport. And, you know, I'll go through Golf Tech University has a stellar training program where they'll send me to Denver. And then, you know, I'm learning with some really amazing people. And you know, on top of that, I'll be working towards my PGA certification. So it just kind of all just fell into my lap. And, you know, I'm very excited about it. I'm very fortunate to be able to do this.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you started the PGA certification process yet?
I just submitted for the background check.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that's going to come back clean and everything. So I'm not too worried. So they told me, you know, once I pass the background check, then I can, you know, sign up for the level one course and, you know, start reading all the online resources that they provide and, you know, getting ready to take my level one exam. So I actually went on to Amazon and found like a PGM textbook from, I think like 2013. And I also found another book that where you can make flashcards with it. I forgot who wrote that book, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy both of these books so I can start getting ahead of it and start studying. So here we go.
That's awesome.
I'm giving myself at least, you know, 2 years to finish that program.
Yeah. Now, once you complete it, you'll be a certified PGA instructor, correct?
I sure will. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. You said it'll take about 2 years to complete it?
I've heard some people, it takes 5 years just because, you know, they may work full time and all that kind of stuff. And then I was talking to a first executive director and she told me that it took her 18 months. So it just kind of depends on the person. And so I really want to, you know, knock it out as soon as I can.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Good luck with that. I want to talk about your game a little bit. What's the best round you ever shot?
Gosh, I was in junior golf. We were playing War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock, and I shot a 79.
Okay.
It was for a tournament. The kid that won the tournament shot like I think he shot like 2 under or something. But that was crazy. My best score that I've ever been able to shoot. And I'm trying to get back to that level of where I was, you know, shooting in the 70s like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I can get back to there again.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to get to the 70s. My best round so far is 84. And, you know,
that's good.
Yeah, and it's funny because before I retired, you know, I was playing 3-4 times a week, and since retiring, I'm lucky if I can get a round in every week, you know. So everybody that plays this game knows it's something that you have to do on the regular in order to improve and get better at. Now that the kids are out of the house and it's just the wife and I, you know, I need to get back to playing the way I was playing on a regular basis. It's the one thing in my life, if I could go back and change anything, I never would have played any other sport. I would have played golf from day one. And did you play any other sports?
I did. I played basketball, volleyball, and I did cheerleading.
Okay.
So when I started skipping basketball practice to go to golf lessons, that's when my mom and I were kind of like, okay, maybe golf is going to be your thing. Because I was literally skipping basketball practice to go to my golf lessons with the Mr. Banks. And, you know, I think when you start to do that, you really, like, that's when you find out what you're most passionate about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I even when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was still playing golf, but I was like, I'm going to be on the WNBA. You know, I had my Lisa Leslie jersey. I still have it. It doesn't fit, but I still have it. I was like, I'm going to play for the Los Angeles Sparks. And I had my life planned out. and golf kind of said, you know what, we're going to take a different turn.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, though. What's your strongest part of your game?
Now, my drives. I've got a really great drive that I'm very excited about. My driver and I finally started getting along about 2-3 years ago, and I haven't changed drivers since.
What kind do you have?
I have a Callaway XR Senior. It's a Senior's Flex.
Okay.
I believe it's 10.5 degrees. So I have the screw kit and all that. And so I adjusted, and now I haven't touched it since. Now I know what settings help me, and that's what I use. And, you know, on a good day, I'm probably driving, you know, 215, 220. I like to say that's good for me. Like, I'm happy with it as long as, you know, I can play it well with my second shot, with my third shot.
Yeah. What part of your game needs work?
God, my short game.
Common answer.
Oh, my gosh. My short game. My short game. And you know what? When my friend Ronnie and I met Jim Thorpe on Saturday, he told us both, the secret is to have a really good short game. And I'm like, oh, I've been trying to work on this for so long, but I just need to just practice more and more. Just really, you know, work on my wedge game, just work on those shots really from, you know, like 175 out.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of struggle with my woods.
Yeah. That's a common answer. You know, my driver, when it's on, it's on. I don't really have too much issues with my driver. It's, again, it's my short game, probably 150 in. And I shouldn't even say 150 in. It's probably even shorter than that. I'll say probably 50 in because my chip shots, for some, I'm either hitting them fat or thin, you know, and.
Same.
So if I can get
and then
that,
watching the ball roll right across the green.
If I can get that under control, I can easily save myself 6 or 7 strokes around.
Gosh, you and me both. You and me both. Bunker shots too. My gosh, I was watching Jordan Spieth play out of the bunker at the Ryder Cup, and I'm just like, gosh, like that's why they're the ones playing at Whistling Straits in the Ryder Cup, and I'm, you know, watching. if I can get my bunker game to look like his.
Did that course look as crazy as it was?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Man.
The hills, everything was just it. I mean, Ronnie and I mean, we were like on our hands and knees trying to crawl up the hill. We were like watching one of Sergio's tee shots from the afternoon round on Saturday. He was on the second hole, and his tee shot kind of went over to the cart path. And so I'm being like everyone else, and I'm running to his ball, just like the rest of the gallery.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of make fun of those people, but that was me. And we're running over to the ball, and then, you know, you just like look like he's, you know, jumping up, trying to find where the hole is, just like Jordan did. I think it was hole 9. Justin had hit his tee shot into the bunker, and you see Jordan jumping up, trying to find where the flag is. And you're just like, wow. I mean, that course, it really was as crazy as it looks.
Yeah.
But beautiful.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's why they make the big bucks. You know?
Right. I wish that was me, but.
Right.
Short game has to come first and then maybe.
Exactly. Who's your favorite player?
I love Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
Xander had a really personal story that I had just learned about when he was preparing for the Olympics. His father was going to an Olympic tryout,
mm-hmm.
and was hit by a drunk driver on his way and was never able to. I don't know what sport it was for,
mm-hmm.
but it, you know, I think it messed up his eye and he wasn't able to compete. So, and one of my things is that, you know, him watching Xander compete at the Olympics, I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah.
After hearing that story, because my father was actually hit and killed by a drunk driver.
Sorry to
hear that story, it was like kind of relatable in a way.
Yeah.
But it was just so touching. And I've been a fan of Xander prior to that, and I still am a fan of Xander. I mean, I never will stop. But Justin Thomas, before Saturday's afternoon tee offs, when he got down on one knee, turned his hat backwards, and was chugging that beer with Daniel Berger, I was like, this is the guy. I loved it. Oh, but I've been a fan of Justin for a very long time. I mean, you know, he's such a little guy, but he's got some strength in his swing.
Yeah, he
and
does.
I think it's so much fun to watch him play.
Yeah, no doubt, man. All those guys, you know, they're not very big in stature, but man, if they hit the ball, they can get through that ball. They get those hips moving and that club head speed, and it's just crazy, you know? And like you say, they're not that big, but they just kill the ball. Did you get a chance to see Shambo by chance?
I did. I can't remember which hole we watched him tee off, but we did see it. We weren't there to see his 417-yard drive. But yeah, we followed him for a little bit. I think we just followed him for like one hole, but yeah. You look at him, and I mean, he's really bulked up, right?
Yeah.
From what we saw at SMU,
mm-hmm.
and when he was a rookie on tour, and you're very impressed by it. I mean, how can you not be impressed by a 417-yard drive and then you go make eagle?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, DeChambeau, everybody seems to dislike him for whatever reason. They call him cocky and all of these other things, but I mean, I respect what he does. You know, he plays his game the way he plays it. And I mean, I think he's just a very intense, focused person when he's on the course. And it may come across as being arrogant or something like that. But when you're in the zone, you're in the zone, you know, and that looks different to everybody. Unfortunately for him, that's just how it comes across.
Right. And, you know, you kind of look at Tiger when he first got on the tour, you know, once he started winning games, he really didn't talk to anyone. You know, you know, I mean, he was zoned in, you know, and some people, you know, called it arrogant.
Yeah.
You know, I just called it, you know, being zoned in. But, you
That's
know, sometimes
it.
He just didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
He's in the zone. And one of the things I really like about Bryson DeChambeau is that I love the way his brain thinks. I love that he's an analytics and data guy. Because in the first half of my professional career, I was a data analyst.
Okay.
And so I was the one mining those numbers, digging into it, building a story out of it. So to see how that translates to golf and to watch him, you know, yes, all his clubs are the same size, but, you know, it's different loft, you know, it's so to me, it's just really cool that he's such a big data nerd like I am, and that he, you know, really gets into the science part of it. I think that's the coolest part about golf is the science and the technology. So he kind of, you know, has me on his side on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he is unique, no doubt about it. And I think he's good for the game, even though a lot of people may disagree with that. But I think he's good for the game. I think the game needs to be shooken up a little bit. And I think he came in and he did that. You know, he plays a different game than most of the guys, you know, hitting the ball as far as he does. But as we saw a few weeks ago, he's got to fix a short game. That putting got to, you know, you can hit it as far as you want.
Boy, Patrick can't lay putt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ashley, listen, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast and talk to me. Any last words before we get out of here?
I just want to say a couple, just a few things. Harold Banks, who introduced me to golf and who created the monster that he has created, he passed away a couple years ago. And so now with me getting more and more involved with golf, I've decided to start a Harold Banks Jr. Golf Foundation.
Okay.
It'll be based out of Little Rock. So I'm still working on the details of it. But for the most part, this foundation will raise money to help minority junior golfers be able to pay for tournament fees, lessons, you know, get them a set of clubs. It'll be a scholarship that they can apply for. But, you know, I'm hoping that this is a way to get more minority junior golfers and get more minority children involved with golf, because as we both know, golf is not a cheap sport.
Right.
It is not cheap. And I don't know how my mother did it as a single parent paying, you know, $50, $100 every other week for me to play in tournaments. And then, you know, buying me expensive but beautiful Callaway golf clubs, you know, and everything else. So I'm really hoping that this foundation can help raise the funds and to help get more of our minority kids involved with golf. But other than that, you know, I really appreciate you having me on your podcast. I'm a big fan of you. When I first saw your post in the Black Golfers Association group, I was very impressed, and I listened to your podcast with a Buck of Fogey, and your podcast with Jamie with the Black Golfers Directory. That was, oh my gosh, I was blown away by her. That I went on LinkedIn and found her. I hope she sees my request, but I was super impressed by her and what she's doing, because she's exactly what I want to do for minority girls. You know, like I look at Jamie and I'm like, you're what I want to do, you know? So she was just very, very impressive. And I'll support her any way I can with the work that she's doing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Again, I appreciate you taking time out of your day and all those kind words and joining me here. If people wanted to reach out and follow you, how can they follow you on social media?
Yeah. So my Instagram handle is ashgolfs1130. That's ASHGOLFS 1130. Or you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Ashley N. Jones, N for Nicole. So, and also Facebook is the exact same, Ashley Nicole Jones, because there's a lot of Ashley Joneses out there.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate it. Guys, if you want to go over and follow Ashley, I'm going to have links to all of her social media down in the show notes. So please reach out, connect with her, check out what she has going on, follow her on social media. And also make sure you guys follow the podcast on whatever platform that you're listening to us on, especially Apple and Spotify. The more reviews and ratings and all that stuff that we get, and subscribers and followers, the more they show the podcast to other members of their platform. So this gives algorithms some help, and get in there and give them some data by liking the podcast and sharing it and all that stuff. The more we do that, again, the more people will see it. And there's not a lot of us in this game, and this podcast is for us. So let's spread the word and let's get as many of us to tune in and listen to it. Because as I've said on previous episodes, when I started this podcast, I was not aware of a lot of the Black-owned golf companies that are out there. I was not aware of the Black Golf Directory. I didn't know that these things existed. And I've been playing this game for 20 years. And I'm sure if I've been involved in the game that long and didn't know about all these resources, there has to be others out there that are in the same boat. So it's up to us to put the information out there. But it's up to you guys to share that information so that it goes worldwide. And the more of us that have access to this information, the better off we are. So on that note, I appreciate you guys. Again, make sure you follow us, share the podcast. You guys keep hitting them straight, and I'll see you all on the next podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.